Welcome to Drunk on Comics Podcast, episode 184. Today, we talked about the stupidest news ever, Deadpool becoming PG-13.
We also talked about CW and their decision to start a major shit show with Netflix.
We reviewed Power Rangers number 0 and talked about some awesome comic book offers that are out there for you guys right now.
Enjoy Drunk on Comics Podcast, episode 184. The Teamwork.
I'm going to just start talking like Starfire from Teen Titans.
Why?
That's how she says everything. She starts with the, like, you're the Tony.
No.
In Starfire language.
That is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. Well, that fits.
I think that you are the dork.
Exactly. Yes. That is true. That's how
I'm trying to think of more the... This is the podcast.
See, that still fits. Phonetically? You guys, I'm an accountant, so...
It would be grammatically.
Words and numbers,
they're really similar. in that you can't do words and Tony can't do numbers.
So together we're one full person, I guess.
Yeah, we are the person.
We are the person, yeah. Exactly.
You guys are my persons.
Aw.
You're the my persons.
We are the Drunk on Comics. Okay, that one didn't really work.
Most of them don't. That was my point. It was like, Lindsay, stop putting the in front of odd words. It's kind of strange. It's not okay.
It's just going to happen more often now.
Probably. And now that I notice it, it's just going to drive me crazy slowly. I'm just going to be
He's
like, why are you doing this?
Start throwing bottle caps at me and
probably.
Stuff.
The Drunk on Comics podcast that we're recording right now.
See, that's a good one.
Yeah.
The Drunk on Comics is good.
Yeah. Yeah, it still doesn't sound good, though.
No.
Well, it's not supposed to, I think.
Only assholes put the in front of it, like Ohio State. It's the Ohio
the
State.
The Ohio State.
That are drunks.
Yeah.
The drunks.
The drunks, yeah.
Yeah, see?
It works. The Lins.
Mm-hmm. The Adam.
The Tonys. Oh. The Ginger.
Like how we secretly snuck in all of our names there. Like we just went around the table and said each other's names with the. Lindsay, you're so smart.
Oh, thanks, Tony. I'm going to take that as a compliment, even though I know you didn't mean it.
I mean, truthfully, she with her in the room, it brings the IQ of the collective room up to about 200, which is nice because I think Tony and I are both at like 2 apiece.
Only right now.
200.
Yeah.
Yay, me.
The 200.
The 200. We're at the 200 now.
I'm going to go watch The Labyrinth. Just Labyrinth. Still just Labyrinth.
Yeah,
please.
No matter what. Now I'm sad. I guess it should be mentioned, it's kind of sad that two iconic, nerdy actors have passed away. David Bowie and Alan Rickman.
Yes, in the same fucking week.
Yeah. It's one of my friends. Oh, did you also hear Grizzly Adams also passed away too? Which not as nerdy, but also an iconic character.
Did not hear that.
Someone, one of my buddies,
do you know who Grizzly
tweeted
Adams
out.
Is?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know because the way you looked at him, I was just like, I don't know who the person.
I don't know who the Grizzly Adams.
No,
is.
They feel that George R. R. Martin is writing in real life now. Like, all these people just. Out of nowhere.
He's actually death. We just don't know.
Yeah.
Like that's his
This
actual
is what's taken
job.
Him so long to write the new book. He's too busy in the real world.
Killing everyone else.
Yes, but...
It's a valid theory.
Also really sad.
Yeah.
Yes.
But,
Why does everything I love have to go away?
I was super sad. I think I was more sad about Alan Rickman. I love David Bowie, but I was
super sad about David Bowie, but then it was just like... And then Alan, and that just hit the gut even harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I'm a huge Bowie fan, so that one like really took the wind out of my sails. I was like, because oddly, I keep a top 30 list of the people I want to meet before they die. And so, like, it's not been great for my list lately. Christopher Lee passed away not long ago. He was, like, number one on my list. I just wanted to go up to him and have him tell me any story. Like, literally just being like, would you tell me a story? Like, what story? Like, I don't even fucking care. Tell me anything. I just want to hear you tell it to me however you want. Like, however rambly, crazy old man story it's going to be, it'd be amazing. And then David Bowie and Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, they're all out of my top 10 list, too. I think
you should maybe get rid of that list.
Well, George R. R. Martin, I sent him a copy of it.
Oh, that's your bad.
So I think that maybe that's why it's happening. He's just editing my list for me.
You should disclose this list to the public so the people who are on it can prepare themselves.
Well,
our thoughts go out to the family and friends of the David Bowie and the Alan Rickman family. So with that, let's get into a review this week.
Yes.
So excited about
this. This one, I thought of you specifically, Tony.
Yay.
Because I know sometimes we scramble to think of something to review, but the minute I saw it, I was like, oh, I don't think I'm going to have any argument from this one.
Oh, no, definitely no argument. In fact, I was going to revolve everything that we talked about going back to last week with fucking Derek. He's not here, so fuck him. Saying the GoBots, Transformers, and all that. Like, I stayed up late at night watching old beginnings of the cartoons, comparing them, and I was going to come in here with all this work, and then I realized that is work, and I'm staying up till 3 a.m. doing this shit, and you guys won't care. Nope. So then I thought,
I do have to say, I'm impressed that you had the wherewithal to realize this before you had put in 14 hours or more, because that is very much a don't, like, I'm going to prove him wrong, like, and you, like, 4:30 a.m. going, what am I fucking doing? Why am I doing this?
I have to work tomorrow.
I still have all the links and stuff saved of all my research. Good. I'm going to start sending them to you guys, and we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about Transformers, GoBox, Power Rangers.
I propose you write a paper on this very subject.
Oh my god, there was this whole article that I saw about how shitty these GoBots are. They are terrible. But we're talking about something not terrible. We're talking about something amazing. The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Number Zero from Boom Studios. And I have to tell you, when I went to go pick this up at my local comic book shop, I was very, I don't want to say disappointed, but I was that I went to my shop not on Wednesday right away to get my comic books, but a couple days later, and the only covers that were left to pick were Billy, Trini, or Kimberly. Well, out of those three, I'm obviously going to pick the guy, so I got the Blue Ranger cover, which sexist. You can't tell what color the dress is. Like, you can't tell the color of
this. It was in the shadows. It's dark blue. Shut up. Anyway.
Anyways, the covers in of themselves are works of art.
They're amazing. Yeah.
All the details, like, that each person is holding their helmet. Their morphers are all what they should be. You can see within the shadow of the glasses there, their Zords just chilling out
in front of them.
Like, a lot of detail. I like the, like, you know, the lens flare-ish of going off of the plastic pieces of their suits. And that just got me right into this book already. Like, if this is what it's going to be like, I'm excited.
Absolutely.
And talking to one of our comic shop people, he was saying how he never really watched Power Rangers. Oh. Well, sorry.
Oh, party foul.
No, not just Freudian slip. I'm just all excited and giddy right now. Because
they're GoBots.
Anyway.
That's what the Power Rangers use, right? They just jump into their GoBots. Is that a thing, Tony? I wish this was a video blog because your face is so red right now. You're so mad.
If you ever want to get Tony really angry for some reason.
Just drop in GoBots.
Yeah. And compare them to something he loves.
Anyways, comic book shop. He was saying how he's never truly watched Power Rangers, but he loved this book. So being someone who has no clue what's going on, and then was like, kind of like, I was like, dude, like, how old are you? Like, you didn't ever grow up watching Power Rangers? 22. I go, oh, you are a youngin.
Well, okay, so this iteration of Power Rangers was obviously on.
But this is the Power Rangers.
Right. They've had Power Rangers almost consistently since this iteration was on TV, but I think the newer ones are super shitty.
Yeah.
You know, and the interesting thing is that they obviously were good enough to stay on.
Right.
They do have a following. Some of them actually had some pretty decent plots. It did get very formulaic, though.
I will say, well, it's very formulaic, and that's kind of what created the show going for a while, but then made it so stale. Something that I talked about almost a year ago at this time, I found this really amazing blog called Atop the Fourth Wall. The dude does amazing reviews of comic books and other things nerdy. Mm-hmm. He went into every single season of Power Rangers and reviewing them, to where some of them for each season has like 2 hour long like YouTube videos that you can watch on the page, and having expanded the entire universe, he's still getting caught up on the latest one, but it would take him a good couple like month to watch every single episode. He breaks down what he feels some are the best episodes, the Zords, the costumes, the something that what always happens is you have the main Rangers, but then that mysterious Ranger comes about. Who is the mysterious Ranger? Happens in every single season. And that person is more powerful than everyone else. And then they get new Zords.
I'm just better than you.
Yeah.
Yes. And then they always come to a fight at first, but then they come back, and then there's the monsters and everything.
Because friendship is their real superpower. Seriously, though.
That's
only overarching concept in all of them. Like, we can do it because we're friends. I'm like, wow, that's our Saturday morning cartoons. That's what we learned.
Well, I mean, that's what we should have. Friendship is fun.
Friendship.
But besides talking about all this other stuff about the overall Power Rangers, series, this takes place right smack dab in the middle of the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, when Tommy came about, the Sixth Ranger.
Which is when the show started getting good anyway, right?
Just thought he was attractive.
Well, yes, of course.
Yeah, that's literally the only reason.
And within that story arc, he was under Rita Repulsa's powers.
Yep.
He was going to be evil and, well, secretly infiltrate the Power Rangers.
And bring them down.
But this kind of gives a different take on that story. And I have to say I enjoyed this immensely. They've updated the looks of the Power Rangers, I feel like, almost more so to the new movie-adapted people. Like, they don't look originally like how the original Power Rangers were. And I'm blanking on everyone's name right now, but the main character actors for them, these people look close enough, but they're not. They also use cell phones here, so instead of using their communicators, they do that. Rita still has her giant Madonna boobs. which
her big old cones.
Find hilarious. But this book is put into place three different stories. One that's the overall ongoing series. One that's a Bulk and Skull.
That was my favorite part.
I liked that one.
When I scrolled through it, like, because I was reading online, as I scrolled down, I was like, oh, are you serious? We actually get to, like, they get their standalone bit? Like, they were my favorite part of the series.
That one definitely is, like, a Saturday morning cartoon. Like,
well, it was more comic relief type, within it. And it follows those characters really well. We'll start with that story of them doing their pranks, ordering all the subs for their principal, getting out of the principal's office and trying to hit on the girls, and them talking about the Power Rangers and them saying they want to be the best Power Rangers ever, the new Power Rangers. And that was, in the series, their big thing. So I like that they're taking that back to its roots. They're delving them down a little bit more of, instead of being like the bullies of the school, they're just, you know, obnoxious dorks that now want to be the next big thing.
They just want the ladies. That's all. They're doing it off of the tail.
I mean, that's all guys in high school do for the most part. So I feel like that's just true to character.
Well, also, within the main story didn't have Bulk and Skull, which like that's why they should have their separate thing. This has looked like it's more toned into the real world,
mm-hmm.
where Bulk and Skull were the comedic, you know, having them show up in this main story arc would seem a little off-putting, I guess.
Well, yeah, because they always, yeah, they were always like, they inserted themselves into the middle of a fight and then tried to claim the victory for themselves at the end of it, right? In the TV show.
That did happen a lot. There were occasions where, like, they learned important things because they actually did do something that helped them. And right. That was, you know, like, oh, they have redeeming qualities. That's great. You know, not always, but they get it sometimes.
Yeah.
So I love that they included them. They, in the main story, are showing Scorpina.
Always had a crush on her.
Yeah, I know. I was like, ooh, she's going to be showing up. Awesome. She was hot. I love in the last story they show Goldar and them battling him. What I love most about the last story within this was they show the vehicles being used more, or the Zords being used more, just being Zords, not being combined into the Megazord. You've seen that a couple times on the show, but in the show they are blocky toys that don't have a lot of articulation to move. So you don't really ever see them being used within the show because it looks so cheesy.
Right.
With the exception of Kimberly's flying one, because it was like the only one that actually had any like practical use ever.
Yeah, but they all did have some of their powers with like this one having Zach out of the Mastodons, you know, blowing the cold ice out of it. That I remember being kind of part of, at least in one episode, being used, but they don't ever use this as much. I like that they didn't have to just form the Zord right away, the Megazord right away. They just were using the vehicles how they could be used, and it was cool to see it just being drawn that you could have that different depth of the vehicles. All in all, that story was great too, and that was just kind of a one-off of just showing them battling.
Yes.
But getting back to this main story, the taming of the
shrew.
Yeah, I was gonna taming of the Green Ranger, and how, man, he is being really emo in this. This is like almost like I do remember from the episodes.
Yeah. Oh no, he was super mopey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like through most of it, like he was not a solid character until much later on. He was just like, oh, he's attractive, so we're just gonna let it go. Like, I mean, I guess.
Well, I had to laugh when I saw them first all being introduced, and I'm looking at what they're wearing. Yep, they still color coordinate with their
Power Ranger, yeah.
And that made me giggle really hard. I was like, well, I mean, some things never change. I guess that's good.
Because you wouldn't be able to tell them apart if they didn't dress in their colors.
Not that they aren't literally a cultural rainbow of race and nationality, but...
Just in case
you are confused, you know, which one the Blue Ranger is, the nerdy one with the glasses, we're going to put him in blue, too. Just so you know.
Case. Yeah, I love Zordon after their giant battle. Well, actually, even before the battle, the city's being attacked again. You've never seen this within the TV show, but it's like almost like ad nauseum of, everyone, go to the gym, we're being attacked again, like... Do the same drill that you normally would do when this is happening.
Right. There's a giant monster destroying the city again.
Yeah.
You know the drill.
Yep. So everyone go. And it's like, and then the Power Rangers go, well, we'll just walk this way and go, you know, it's morphin' time. Which, when they all decided to do that, and within the little panel of it, I'm reading it out loud. Mastodon, Triceratops. You know, Sabertooth Tiger, you know, Dragonzord, like, I'm picturing their words, them doing this. Side note, while watching football last night playing Cards Against Humanity, one of the cards was, it says, it's morphin' time. Mastodon, Pterodactyl, Triceratops, Sabertooth Tiger, blank. The person that read the card, she goes, I don't get it, I don't understand. I go, it's Power Rangers! What the heck don't you get?
And I said, you flip the table and walk out at that point?
No, it was another.
No, he punched her in the face like anybody should.
No, and like... and when she was then reading the white cards, I told her, you have to yell these out loud. Just do it. Just that's how it is. So she goes down. Fine, I don't understand what I have to. Okay, it's morphin time. Mastodon, Triceratops. You know, blah, blah, blah. Masturbation. The other ones were a lot raunchier than that.
Oh.
She goes, I think I'm going to have to scream all of them just because of the reaction. But
it's perfect.
I love that that just came into my life when we were playing that as well. So
no, absolutely. No, I think that, you know, Dragonzord was like the only major part as a kid. I was like, wait, so we have all these dinosaurs and a dragon?
Zord?
Did we run out of dinosaurs? Could we not think of something? Yeah. Like, I don't understand.
Raptor.
Yeah, I mean, even Mastodon is like a little bit off on that one, but at least it's
Sabertooth Tiger.
I was gonna say it's all still like you know, of the past and so on, but no, like Dragonzord, something that literally never happened.
Right.
We're just gonna make this one up.
Fictional character.
Giant sea turtle.
Right? I think that actually was.
Yeah, I was just thinking, now that I'm thinking of, there was, I think, a turtle.
I think, yeah, that Carrier Zord. It was the Carrier Zord where they, like, you know, just kind of like.
Those toys sucked. Along. All you did was just put the Zord in it and have it. That. Oh,
no, I mean, not everything can be GoBots.
Fuck you.
But the page where they get into their Power Ranger mode is art wise is really good, because it does bring you back to the feeling of the television show when they would go through that whole. Then they do their little poses when they would transition.
Sorry, can you do that motion again so that everybody can hear you doing it? whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. That's exactly, you know, the nostalgia of this. You know, we're reading through this now, having fallen in love with it as kids, and like, you know, playing Power Rangers with our friends in the backyard, and and like, you know, having the slow little brother. I mean, Tony kicking Matt in the chest and telling him that he's a putty who's supposed to explode. So, you know, we know that these
things.
That is
true story.
No, he was the Green Ranger, and our buddy Daryl, who was the Red Ranger at the time because he was a little bit older than us and wanted to be the leader, quit playing with us when the Green Ranger became the leader. Literally, quit playing with us. Me and my buddy Jeff, we didn't want to be like beholden to then one of the other Power Rangers, so we made up our own two Zords that combined ourselves. Like, I don't even remember what they were, but we were like silver and gold like Rangers, and yeah, we'd jump around the playground and everything, but yep. I will still never forget when my brother became leader because the TV show dictated it.
It's canon. It's canon.
Our buddy got
the McKay brothers, even back then, following canon.
Yeah.
Yes. One of the great things that I also loved about this one, we already talked about the other one of the Zords and how individually wise being used within that story. I loved when the cars were falling off the bridge. Angel Grove Bridge, and Kimberly was like teleported out into her Zord, so it kind of shows like, because they do have their teleportation devices where they can go from here to there, showing her come from the cockpit into her Zord that flies off the chest to then go and save these cars that were falling. Like, that was a really cool, never would have thought of that, couple panels to show their diversity of being able to use these Zords within a fight. Now, one of the big things is Tommy not following protocol. You also have... Yes, but, I mean, he's still under the influence. And he really seemed like he didn't have control of his Zord. So that's not 100% on, you know, his fault either. But I love Zordon just put fucking Jason and Tommy in their place. Like, you know, Tommy's the newest member. Your job is to ask questions if you're not clear on it. You know, and Jason, you know... You're supposed to make sure that everyone is clear and understanding everything. You both got it? Good. Like, Zordon's laying the smackdown of, like, I'm not blaming both of you, but I'm blaming both of you.
I don't mean to make it sound like you guys are adolescent high school bitches, but own up.
Yep.
Like, do your shit. You got a job to do.
I love that was kind of like, this makes Zordon cooler than just mystical head figure.
Yeah.
He's cool. And did you also notice they showed Alpha 5? But they did not have any words.
No, he didn't. He didn't.
He's literally the Jar Jar Binks of the series.
There's one in everyone.
There is. I mean, yeah, he's very entertaining, though. I think that he was important for like some comic relief. But at this point, this was a very tense beginning to the story arc. Like, you know, I'm wondering if Rita is still in control of Tommy, because it sounds like they just started. So this is before like. He breaks the mind control and, you know, gets his life back and so on.
And that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, that's what, if they're taking that specific set of couple of the episodes, it does look like, I don't know what that crystal was that they recovered.
Right, or why
I was gonna
she
ask
can
you that.
Force project herself, apparently, because Rita could never do that, but she can, apparently.
So, well, they probably just didn't portray it in the TV series because...
It was the early 90s and they had zero budget.
Well, that and because of how they make Power Rangers, which I will not even get into it, they chop up multiple different Japanese shows to put the American actors in parts. The reason why you can have them clothed within the suits with the other actors, because that's from the show... But anytime them not being in suits, green screen sometimes happened, or you have the three putty suits that are fighting them as humans. There's so many nuances that I've now realized because of the way that that's how they made these shows, that you can see there's a cut. Nope, that's the American version. Nope, here's there. It's interesting of how this became such a juggernaut that it is when it seems so convoluted and how they made it.
Yeah. Yeah, so do you think that this will get more in-depth than the TV show ever did because it doesn't have the restraints of that, the way it was made?
Oh, yeah, for sure. This is going to have a lot more... They can go anywhere, really. They're not constrained to just what they had for previous, you know, footage. And it's with that I'm very looking forward to what... I would love to see them move beyond where we already know what's happened, but if we can just pretend that this is its own world... And say everything that happened, Lord Zedd not coming at all, knowing the future of Power Rangers and everything, and then Neo, you know, Power Rangers and the Thunder Zords and all that, sticking to what it is now, it's a great starting point for new readers or even old fans like myself to be like, I get this, I like this.
Right. Well, and you know, it's coming on at the lead in to the new movie.
Right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's where I feel like part of this is trying to set that about.
I think that was the whole point of this, is to lead in. And maybe that's why the characters are... Well, no, because they switched all the way the characters in the new movie looked, right? They're not the same ethnicity as they were in the TV show, right?
I don't know. I haven't watched any of the trailers, to be completely honest.
No, they don't have any trailers yet. They've just named the actors.
Castings,
sure.
So, like, the Black Ranger's not black anymore and that sort of stuff. Racist. They've switched. Well, I didn't make the show.
I don't know. Lindsay, you do a lot of stuff I don't know about, so
that's
I gotta check.
True. I am an enigma.
Reacting to an allegory. No, that's absolutely a very interesting problem. I do have to ask, did anybody else read all of Golda's line with his voice in your head?
Who?
Golda.
Goldar?
Goldar, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
Do it, Tony.
Well, let me look. I can read it for word.
Yeah, when verbatim.
Yeah,
and then you have to do Rita's voice.
Oh no! That. Yeah. A pair of teenagers will never defeat. No, that's not that. No, that's nowhere near.
Whole worst impersonation ever. Oh, Goldar.
Well, I'm just trying to think of, because he was kind of deep voice, but kind of like.
Also he was kind of like Pete from Mickey Mouse, like, just had this, like, deeper but, like, kind of a goofy voice to him.
And you were never a match for me, Green Ranger, and now to finish you. Well, that was a little bit better.
It was better.
Yeah.
Okay. It was better. I just like being able to get you to do this, because it's your childhood, we did these voices as kids, you know, as we're yelling and, you know, like, playing on the playground, like, so it's always interesting to me, like... I know that I haven't seen this show in at least 10 years.
Right.
But I can still picture these voices. I still remember the hair cuts and the clothing that they were wearing and how cool I thought it was. And, like, not understanding why my school couldn't be that. And then realizing, like, oh, Angel Grove is in this nice warm climate, not middle of subarctic Michigan.
Right.
You know, with the 18 feet of snow.
I mean, I can still think, like, imagine them saying, it's morphin' time!
Yep.
Or the, hey, hi-ya! See, hi-ya! Which, I mean...
This is amazing. We could just keep doing this for the whole show.
Also, at some point, we should just have a staged fight, like, you know, in the background. Like, have Derek and Tony, you know, fight off using the, hey, hi-ya, hi-ya! I got you.
Whoosh,
whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
Yeah. Whoosh. okay, well, let's tell people who did this comic, because I don't think we covered that.
Oh, you know what? We did not.
So the main story was written by Kyle Higgins and illustrated by Hendry Presetia.
Sure.
Colors by Matt Herms. And then the ongoing adventures of Bulk and Skull, written by Steve Orlando, illustrated by Corin Howell, colors by Jeremy Lawson. And then What Time Is It? Which is the last story. Margaret Scott.
Yes.
And
wait, was that a question?
Yes.
Scott's hard.
It just transferred to the end. That's fun.
Margaret, you have a very interestingly spelled name.
Yes.
It is terrifying.
Margaret.
Yeah.
Illustrated by Daniel Bayless. And then the covers, which were awesome, are Gonier Montez. So I don't know if that's going to be the ongoing cover artist, but I hope so because...
Those were beautiful.
They're very cool.
I enjoyed this book. I don't know if I'll keep reading the ongoing because you guys love Power Rangers way more than I do, clearly. But I would go so far as to say that these would be like frame worthy for the whole set covers.
Oh, probably.
For sure.
I was kind of hoping that you guys picked up like the green or the red one, and I was going to kind of just somehow steal them, and you wouldn't have noticed that I traded you the Billy for that, but that didn't seem to happen.
There's got to be one somewhere.
It's a shame that Billy is still the last one to be picked always.
Aww. I do think he's cool, but he's not as cool.
No, yeah. See, and that's the really funny thing is that he's like shut up, nerd. Like, he's like the only one that actually figures, like, everybody else, let's punch it. Well, I actually have a solution to this problem. Shut up, nerd. It's not what we do. We fight things. Billy, aww.
So all in all, it was an amazing book. I look forward to the series, and...
It passed your Power Ranger test. It was good. Good representation.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. You weren't disappointed.
Mm-hmm. I give it 5 out of 5. Hut, hut, huzzahs!
Right on. That's a good thing,
yeah.
I think. All right. So
let's move on to some news.
Yeah. Well, I have more than news, an offer.
You have an offer?
In which you guys...
That sounds sexy.
...could take part of.
Oh, God. This is getting so great.
It's not from me, specifically.
Oh, that's good.
Humble Bundle. Everybody knows Humble Bundle, right? The awesome... They raise money for all kinds of causes, giving you awesome things in exchange. The Humble Comics Bundle this week is from Image... And it's Creator's Own Worlds Image novels. So you have like Saga and Odyssey and all these ones where Images allow these creators to literally just create their own universes. So you have 9 days left. If you pay under the average, you get, was it 11 comic books? And if you pay more than the average, which as of right now on Sunday... It's $15.88. So if you pay more than that, you add like another 9 comics to that, 10 comics. And if you pay more than 20, you get 5 more on top of that.
Though this should be noted that these are actually volumes and not actual comic books.
It's not single issues.
You're actually getting 20 titles, but like the 20, the one that I was really excited about is Invincible. I picked up a couple of those and read through them. He's a really engaging character, but you actually get issues 1 through 47. So, I mean...
That's a lot of books.
Yeah, and that's just one of the 20 that you get as you're moving forward. So I feel like, you know, for me in particular, it's $20.
Yeah.
You know, at $20,
for sure.
I mean, just the Invincible title there is well over that, and you get... You know, 19 other titles that you get to sit, or 24 other titles that you get to sit on.
Yeah, Bitch Planet is on there, which I haven't read, and I've been meaning to pick up. Jupiter's Circle, which I heard was really good.
Yep.
Saga's on there. You got Witches, which was amazing. So if you haven't read that, it's worth the $20 to get all of these and that on top of it.
I really enjoyed Nowhere Men. I really like the title. The art style is I like that a lot. It's very I don't know if it reads almost like a teen like drama.
Yeah.
Just because of how it's drawn through. And then there's Rat Queens, which if you've never picked up Rat Queens, very weird. I don't like mice and rats. Actually, I have a phobia.
Yes, we talked about this quite recently, actually.
So it was. It's not my favorite, but I do have to say that I really liked the title. It was very engaging, and I think if you have younger girls or women that are in your circle that you want to introduce to. I think that that's a great starter comic book for them because it's all, they're like teenagers. They have a lot of, you know, wonderful solutions to their problems and how they're coming across. And, you know, they all have very different abilities that they have to, you know, use a lot of teamwork. You know, teamwork, I guess, today's
theme. That's
today's theme. Everything's going to be teamwork from here on out. but, yeah, and they're constantly adding more. Lindsay was actually telling me earlier, because I didn't understand the whole, like, thing at the bottom. Apparently, they also send you one new comic book every day as well.
Yes, like a number one in their back catalog.
Yeah, and it's Plutona is right now currently, and right. So you know they announce it every morning what it is, so you should totally reach out there and try and grab them.
Definitely. And the way Humble Bundle works is you can choose where your money goes. This is supporting the human rights campaign, so in my mind and heart, it's such a worthy cause, and you get so many fucking comic books along with it, so support a good cause and get some sweet reads on top of it. But on top of that, there's so many comic books for sale this week, you guys. Do either of you have $200,000? Did any of you win the lottery?
Wait. Oh, yeah. Tony, did that happen?
Yeah, trying to let people not know. So I'm just going to pretend to be poor for a while still.
Yeah, no, that's probably best.
It is.
Just so that people don't start, like, asking me for money. So no, I didn't. Okay. Wink, wink.
All right. Well, when you get $200,000, you should buy this. It's every Marvel comic ever, essentially, for $200,000, which I think is a steal, personally. So Bebop Comics, which is a fun name, in Kansas, is selling a huge lot, essentially, of Marvel comic books. It was given to them by a private collector who, I don't know what the circumstances are, but he's getting rid of his collection, and he asked them to try and sell it as a whole set first before they break it up. So you have until February to buy every single Marvel comic ever.
Here's my thing with this auction. The range of condition is, you know, really all over there.
Yeah, really bad to probably...
Like, all the newer ones he said he started in the 70s, which some of them could be worth some money. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But I could probably tell you those, even if he has the number ones of Fantastic Four or this or that, he's going to get pennies on the dollar if someone were to resell them individually-wise. And I don't see... That's a lot for that big of a collection. Now, some of that stuff, individually-wise, you could sell if it was in good condition, but I would think this person would already be aware of that.
Right.
In which case, they're trying to give you pretty much kindling fire, you know, with as probably bad as some of these
are. Yeah. You can't even read them.
So, I mean, for some of those that want to say you owned every Marvel book, kudos. But I would love to see what they said that possibly what would happen if this auction doesn't go through is them breaking them up into smaller lots. I think that would be a better... They could probably get more money just individually-wise, right, saying the whole run of Fantastic Four, whole run of X-Men, the whole run of this and that. But that's a good chunk of change.
It is. And it's not even a dollar a comic, because they're saying that it's between 32,000 and 36,000 pieces. They're not...
Yeah, and that doesn't add up for how like many comics Marvel has made.
Right.
I mean, we just said alone there's 252 within just the Secret Wars that just came out.
Well, this only goes through, I think, maybe 2015, because it was from Fantastic Four number one all the way through 2015, and it says it includes all Marvel original graphic novels, magazine size editions, and Treasury editions.
That's a lot, but like going back
109 long boxes.
I don't know, because even if we said 1,000 a year, which is not 1,000, I'm trying to do the math on this, but I feel there would be more. But then again, Marvel didn't put out five issues of the same thing every 2 weeks.
Correct.
Like that's when I go on a tangent on that by itself, but still.
Yes, and this doesn't include anything that was pre-Marvel, so no Timely or Atlas or anything like that. But
well, thanks for letting us millionaires know.
Yeah, no problem.
About that sale.
But I have problems with my car too, Tony, so let's talk about that later. All right. So what's next, guys? You got any
Oh, you're the one leading us.
Oh, thanks, I'm just going to carry the whole conversation?
Yeah, you're in charge. That's your job.
That's what we fucking said.
Yeah. We were like, who wants to be in charge? And we were like, I'm clearly in charge of you two. No. And we were like, all right. I was
pointed at because you're still hungover from last
time? No, I don't actually get hangovers.
Or you're just tired.
I'm just tired.
And Tony's Tony.
I had not partied down in a really, really long time, but Juice Ball was last night. It was 80s themed, so I went as a nerd. I mean, I went.
So, you went as you.
I went as me.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on.
Come on. Tubular.
Come on, okay, ladies. No, be a little professional here.
Shut up.
Know your role.
Know your place.
Oh.
At the top.
Okay.
See what I did there? Good job, it sounded bad, but it was better.
All right. Well, let's talk about Netflix for a little bit, you guys.
Netflix.
Yes. So, a couple things happening. It's CBS, who owns CW.
Correct.
Is talking about, they're talking about pulling all of their shows off of Netflix.
They are pulling all of their shows off of Netflix. CW will actually be doing this really awesome thing where they're going to shoot themselves in the foot because that sounds like a great decision. They have this really awesome idea that they're going to stream all of their original content shows on their own streaming site for $2 a month.
That's $2 more than what I would pay to watch those. Because right now I watch them for free on the CW website.
Absolutely.
I feel like that was just a commercial for them.
So go to CW.com. The issue is that they're going to be taking all of that off. You're only going to be able to get it there. But I feel like there are so many other streaming sites that may or may not be super legal. Or, you get the ones that are overseas that are legal. You can pull all of that stuff and watch it for free anyway. I don't think that they understand they are not going to have the subscribership.
No.
I don't think it's going to pay off in the long run.
Well, and so I watch Arrow and I watch The Flash. Those are the only two CW shows I watch. I know they have like teen dramas and stuff that are hugely popular for them. Not my or our demographic, essentially. But I don't...
You don't have to lie about it. You know that you go home and watch them.
You guys watching Pretty Little Liars? Is that what's going on when I'm not here?
Yes.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, that's what I'm just going
to Tony was so confused. Yes. He was like, is that really a thing? they do that. And they also have, Legends of Tomorrow, Guardians of Tomorrow.
Legends of Tomorrow. And they have iZombie.
Yep.
Which is a good one. I like these shows. I don't know that any of them are shows that I would necessarily go out of my way to make sure that I watch them all the time.
Is if you want people to actually be tuning in, some people like me need to catch up on these shows.
Right.
Netflix is the perfect way to binge watch, to watch them all. As you said, $2 is a nice price range, but that still to me says, fuck you guys for wanting to try to take more of my money when I'm going to still have to watch your advertisements
right.
and all this and that. You're going to be double dipping. No, I don't like this at all. And to be honest, they're going to see that their viewership's going to fall drastically.
So.
But I also think partly this could be a move because in scorn of Marvel. Marvel has their partnership with Netflix.
Right.
And let's pull then these, CW shows, which are Warner Brothers, DC type titles,
right.
From their market as well.
I don't think it's a good idea. However, on a more positive note with Netflix, we do have the new shortlist of the things that have been given go-aheads for new seasons, most notably a possible Punisher series and Jessica Jones season 2.
Yes, I'm excited. I loved Jessica Jones.
Yeah, I haven't actually finished it yet.
It was really good. I never finished watching Daredevil, but I blew.
What?
I know.
What? Really?
I know.
This was really a year ago.
I know. I'm gonna have to finish watching it before the new season starts. Huh. I know. I'm a bad nerd. Whatever.
No, that's okay.
But I blew through Jessica Jones.
See, and I actually I have a harder time watching Jessica Jones.
Really?
I do. I don't know what it is about.
Kingpin is Daredevil's father. Oops. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Right.
I know that's not true.
Matt Murdock dies in the end.
He's not really blind.
Yeah. That would be a good twist.
He's been running into girls with his hands out in front of them the whole time. Like
oh, I'm blind. It's not
are you a female?
No, I'm not. Oh! No, I think that it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with these new series as they're coming through because they're talking about so much... original content being right. focused on Netflix, which, to be completely fair, I'm still putting it out there. Find out how much it would be to pull out Firefly.
Oh.
Brush that off.
Yeah.
You know, the whole cast is on board.
They've said multiple yep. times.
Yep. And I know that, you know, the writers want to do it. The you know, director, right. obviously.
Jaws isn't doing it.
Yeah, he's been sitting on his
hands our good friend Jaws. Forever. Right, Tony?
So if only we can. You know, but I think that Netflix is going to have a really great opportunity to change how we think about television, which yeah. is a really nice change of pace, because, you know, before it was, if you don't have a subscription to everything,
right.
These huge packages, because you can't, like, pick and choose anymore, then it, you know, you have all the stuff you don't use. But Netflix is like, no, it's just one flat rate, and you get all of this content, so right. have fun.
It was smart, because I think they were dwindling there when they were just doing movies for a while, so it really invigorated their brand. But that's business and not something we talk about here.
Totally just did. You're welcome, folks. You just got smarter.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I read this great article this week, you guys, about the 10 comic book deaths that haven't been undone. I shared it with you guys. Did you read it?
We did.
So...
Hey, maybe.
Tony looked at the nice, pretty pictures.
So, obviously, the running joke in comic books is, you never really die.
Well, I mean, after DC brought Superman back from the dead right. after the death of Superman, when they killed Death, effectively, right. it's been kind of a farce.
Yeah, well, and you had Bucky, who was dead yep. for a really long time, and he came back. So I'm not going to go through the whole list, because some of them are just...
Duh.
Yeah, but the...
Really, like, you know, Thomas and Martha Wayne.
Right.
Like, oh, Batman's parents died and stayed dead? That's
You know what, though? This list had me thinking, like, if they were going to bring back Batman's parents, how would they do it?
Well, and if I'm not mistaken, there actually have been some story arcs where they do that.
Yeah, Ra's al Ghul said, though, that because they're so dead, they'd be zombied, but...
Mm-hmm.
He's yeah. threatening Batman with
bringing
that.
Him back. Yeah, and a lot of them are like alternate version characters. So like there was Ben Reilly, who was the alternate version Spider-Man and stuff
the
like
clones.
That.
Yeah. Literally yes. the Clone Wars.
But ultimately, the only one that will two that will never truly come back. Besides the parents,
right.
we're not going to see Superman's parents, and we're not going to see the Waynes. Besides that, and some of these other who, honestly, I see could come back,
mm-hmm.
The two that I could never see them doing are both Parker
yes.
storylines, Gwen Stacy
yep.
and Uncle Ben.
Ben, yeah.
Gwen Stacy, they've kind of brought back, but that's an altered dimension.
Right. Well, and that's what they said in this thing that I read, is even Uncle Ben, they've brought back in, like, he's been Spider-Man. In alternate dimensions of Spider-Man, but never in the current storyline of Spider-Man. Like, that incarnation of Gwen Stacy, that incarnation of Uncle Ben, hopefully, will never be returned. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
Gwenpool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was a different.
Yeah.
Total. Oh, I know. It's
well,
it all
we
gets,
got Spider Gwen,
crazy.
Who's
yes.
super popular right now, but that came out of the
yeah,
Spider-Man.
What I said like 30 seconds ago.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm reiterating.
Way to pay the attention.
hey guys.
But we bring
friendship.
This up because
nice.
Marvel has Teamwork. Gone back to, now that Secret Wars is over, has gone back to the title card teasers of just a few words to say what's coming on out. And black background within white letters, Dead No More. And really, I'm curious what this means. This came out the day before Secret Wars number 9 came out. So I don't think it has any practical implications from that. You didn't really see anyone be revived at the end of that. There are many people that are presumably dead. Their books haven't debuted with the all-new, all-different, so it could be anyone. Namor's still nowhere to be found within
right.
the Marvel Universe. Who could this Dead No More be? And many people were speculating, you know, maybe Wolverine. Wolverine seems good, but you already have all that effort that was put into Old Man Logan. You have the all-new Wolverine, X-23. I really think he can kind of stay dead for a little bit longer.
He's such a convenient plot device.
So like, then,
oh, we don't have an answer. Wolverine can hit it hard enough.
Like, throw some Wolverine on it.
Yeah.
So then there was another teaser that brought up, because certain people were speculating who could Dead No More be, and it could be literally almost everyone. Hopefully it's not anyone from the top 10 list or other people that should just remain dead. And it said, best beware my sting, with the color scheme of Wasp.
Right.
And people were speculating then, well, wait, is Janet coming back? And what? But she's already been back. Like, how could that be? Marvel finally confirmed that one, at least, that it's the most obvious answer, which would be then
Wasp.
Somehow Wasp.
Right.
But what people are still speculating, because they don't have the full answer, is this going to be Hope Van Dyne, the character that was within the new Ant-Man movie? Are we going to see them directly pull something from those movies to make it be integrated within the general, you know, Marvel comic book universe? That one, I guess, is cool. I love when they come out with these teaser trailers. It's been so long. It was before Secret Wars, when they're teasing all the different names of the different events and everything, which was leading up to Battle World. But now I'm like, I want to know, and I want to know now. Who's right. coming back from the dead, and who will I be pissed off about that they should remain dead?
Yeah, you have no guesses? You don't think?
Wolverine's really... I mean, it can't be one of those big ones. Wolverine's the only one. Actually, here's my hope, is Richard Rider. The original Nova.
Okay.
Who, if a couple months back when Brian Michael Bendis retconned him surviving the Cancerverse and pretty much saying he died, and people were pissed.
Right.
I would love to see Richard Rider come back. Like, he was one of my most favorite of the cosmic beings, with also the worst name ever, but...
Richard Rider?
Yeah.
You don't like that name?
Do you get it?
Yeah, I get it.
Okay.
I honestly thought we were going to have to explain that one for a second. I was like, oh, wow, really? Oh,
she's like,
did we swing and a miss on this one? Like, wow.
Is that your nickname on the weekends?
Yeah. On the weekends? Anyway.
All the time.
I do hope it's that. I do hope it's not Wolverine. Right. But ultimately,
God, I hope not, too.
I don't know if the color scheme, the black and white, has anything, because the only thing I always think of is Venom, but... Venom's still around.
So yeah, he's actually got a standalone series right now.
So it's, like I don't know.
Space Knight or something crazy like that.
Other thoughts, though, could it be The Watcher is back live? I mean, they got this whole new universe.
Could be.
That would be one that would be interesting. But yeah, I don't know right now.
Well, you know what is dead right now?
What?
Fantastic Four.
Yeah, there's no saving that for a while.
No,
thanks, Fox.
I know there's been rumors about this for a while now, especially after the bomb.
The debacle.
Of the movie. But the Marvel confirmed that they're shelving the Fantastic Four as an ongoing concern.
Well, they confirmed it in Secret Wars with, later this week, we are recording our Secret Wars big spectacular palooza.
Very true.
Which we also discussed this a little bit more. But yeah, there's no denying that Secret Wars was the ending of Fantastic Four as we know it, and that there was a press release to state about that.
Yeah, and it's not for a while, they're saying, if at all, are they ever bringing the Fantastic Four back. But they did make a point in the article that I read, which was from the Hollywood Reporter, that Thor didn't have a book for a really long time, and then came back, made a huge splash. I don't know if that was because they then gender-swapped Thor, and that's what made it so huge, but...
Oh, yeah.
No, they're not even talking about that. Thor was earlier 2000s. He was not around. He came back then, when everyone was waking up, being on Earth, and then Asgard being in Broxton, Kansas.
Oklahoma,
yeah. That was the return of Thor that I believe that the article is talking about. But then again, people come and go, people die, and then they're dead no more. who knows where they could be going with it?
Right. I think it would be interesting to see Thor's father coming back to life.
Odin?
Because Odin's died so many times.
I forget where he's at right now, but I think he's... No, because he was alive in the Last Days.
Was he?
The Last Days series, yeah. So he's obviously, if that got reset, Asgard got reset. I haven't read the new Thor book yet, but I'm assuming.
I haven't either, that's why I was asking.
I'm assuming like, he's...
Is that a thing yet? Do we know?
Yeah, there's a Thor book already out. It came out 2 weeks ago. So
excellent.
So not everything can stay dead, and Deadpool cannot stay out of the news. Besides his marketing firm, I mean, as if he's a real person, the marketing on this movie, I can't wait to see that movie.
Yeah,
that is everything. I love the newest billboard that they posted, which makes it look like a romantic Valentine's Day. Like,
yes. Love that.
Love Never Dies.
Never Dies, yeah. There was like a meme or something going around on Facebook that was like a guy sent it to his girlfriend and was like, we should go see this. And she got really excited about it.
There's another billboard I saw which had a tombstone, a little emoji, yeah. Poop, and then an L. As in dead poo.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
So this movie is what everyone has wanted it to be. And then some. We got our rated R Deadpool that we've wanted.
As it should be.
There's a petition going around to make a PG-13 cut.
Makes me nauseous.
In worst news I've heard all week, WTF, mate. Like, what? Why?
Exactly, why? I mean, when I heard that they were making Deadpool and they were like, PG-13, maybe?
That was what we're, like, at least hoping for, that's what it would have been, but it would not have been the same type of movie. It definitely would have been really reined in. I don't know how they can make a cut of a movie such as this without bleeping out every other word.
Cutting out half the violence.
But it all comes from...
literally everything.
30 minutes long.
Everything that Ryan Reynolds says has just been cut.
Yes.
This all comes about, though, from creator and host of a YouTube show, Grace Randolph, who got a letter from an 8-year-old kid who gave his parents a reason why he wanted to go see Deadpool, and the mom just saying that, like, it's rated R. Like, is there any way that we could make a PG-13?
No.
So my kid, first off, like, the kid's 8. He shouldn't even be seeing PG-13 movies, and
I'm
he's
sorry.
8.
What?
Fuck your kid.
You heard it here, folks.
Yes.
Lynn's
wow
is advocating some things.
I'm not. That's
the most terrifying thing I've ever heard. Like, fuck your kid. What? Why are we saying
it wasn't a statement of action?
I hope not. No, but you're right. Like, it's not like the kid can read the comic books.
No,
like he can't buy them.
Yeah.
Like, and if you're enabling that one, you should probably be able to have a good conversation about, like, guess what, kid. Life isn't fair. You don't get everything you want.
You're 8.
There's a lot of people that, like, are very against, like, that are, like, saying, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I mean, that's like, you know, my almost four-year-old nephew saying, you know, they wish Han Solo was still alive. I mean, it just doesn't happen, kids. Sorry.
Right. Hard truths.
Yes, hard truths that they have to learn that they don't always get their way.
Right.
But, as I said, this was the most stupidest news that I saw all week, and, yeah.
Yeah, so what website is hosting this petition? It's not Move On, is it?
No.
God, I hope not.
No. You're boozing a book this week to...
The Booze in the Book?
Yes, The Booze in the Book this week.
Brought to you by us.
Yes.
At Drunk on Comics. The Drunk on Comics.
The Drunks.
At
Drunk
the Drunk on
Comics.
Comics.
Is Secret Wars number 9.
Yay.
Because we didn't really talk about it, so I need to kind of throw it in here, even though we talk about it more later this week. Paired with Unibrew's La Fin du Monde.
La Fin du Monde.
Oh. You know, you've had that?
Yeah, oh yeah, it's good.
It is good. It's from made in up in Quebec. It is a more of a kind of like a Belgian triple, a little more spicier than most, and the big reasons why is because the La Fin du Monde has a nice finish, as well did Secret Wars, and
right.
La Fin du Monde means the end of the world.
Yes.
Which,
en français.
There goes Battle World. So that is one of the perfect pairings that we've ever had. For
well done.
The end of the world.
As we know it.
And I feel fine. I feel that's the final thoughts.
There you go.
And that's the presidents of the United States of America.
Boom.
No, it's not.
That band?
No, The End of the World, as you know it? No, that's R.E.M., dude. The R.E.M.
Is it the R.E.M.?
Yes.
Yes.
The Rapid Eye Movement.
Me and Old Man Derek would sing that all the time at...
Old Man Derek.
The presidents of the United States of America.
What song did they do?
Peaches.
And Lump. And that was
Lump
about it.
Alone. All right.
I think there was one more in
there. I was going to say, I can get you guys to sing and do impersonations today. This is really great. Dance, monkey, dance.
Well, before we cut off, we have to send a shout out to a new comic book store in town. Adam, I think you know more about this than anybody else.
I do. It's up on Plainfield. A gentleman has been collecting comics since the 70s, and I apparently realized that he couldn't walk through his front door anymore. He's actually a friend of young Neil's, of Derek's. So he is... been open for a little bit yet. There was an article written in MLive in December about him. But yeah, up on Plainfield, new comic book shop, guys. Go check him out.
The Comic Signal.
Yeah.
That's what it's called. So I think we're going to head out and check it out soon.
Yeah. Probably do a live recording there at some point in the near future.
Sounds good. Well, until then, stay thirsty for color coordinating your power suits.